Hey, welcome to the Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page, plus the YouTube feed on ESPN, as well as the ESPN app, and you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Wednesday to you, Daniel Dopp. What's going on, my friend?
Happy Wednesday to you, Field Yates. I am sitting in the place of Matthew Berry, who cannot be here today. Mike Clay also. We originally thought he was going to be able to make it today, but he was not. So right now it's me and you holding down the fort.
You know, Mike Clay, once again, not working hard during the football season. What else is new? Dude, which means to be you and I today. Looking forward to having some fun. We're going to talk about rankings, a little bit of news, but mostly rankings today. And if you're in the chat, first of all, you can see Daniel, which is cool. Second of all, ask some questions. Fire away, because we may have some times for what will basically become a live Q&A at the end of the podcast. We have Kyle Soppy here with us today, holding down Daniel's normalcy. Good to have Thirsty Kyle here.
Appreciate that. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Of course. Well, right. Kyle, like, missing work for Kyle, by the way, is like, our show starts at 10, as you guys all know. 11.
11.
11. Ooh.
As you guys all know.
As you guys all know, the show starts at 11. Missing work for Kyle is like when he shows up at like 9:15, as
ridiculous.
Opposed to 8:15.
It's ridiculous.
No, trust me. It never is an option with Kyle Soppy, the anchor of this show. So let's get into some news, Daniel. No Stefania here today, so we're just going to play Stefania, which means we'll probably be inadequate, but we'll do our best.
Do our best.
Jarvis Landry, who has never missed a game to injury in his career, is going to go on the IR list. It's a knee issue that we already knew about for Jarvis Landry. He was placed on IR yesterday. A reminder that the NFL IR rules mean you're going to miss at least three games. Odell Beckham Jr. is uncertain for Sunday against the Chicago Bears. I think the question is, Daniel, is there a Brown that if you were monitoring the waiver wire, maybe today a leftover that you're saying to yourself, I might go snag that player right now because of the uncertainty for Beckham this week and the clarity that Landry's out for at least three games?
I would say, for me, and this is a probably long shot, but based on what my tight end situation is, Austin Hooper, absolutely. If he's out there, I would grab him. I would assume he's going to get a bunch of targets. Between who's left, I think Donovan Peoples-Jones would probably be my go-to. I just think the idea, if I see someone getting in the end zone, I would like for him to be able to get more involved. I know that there's somebody that they like him a lot. So I think I would go that route. Anthony Schwartz, I know that we've talked about. I don't know. Is there someone that nobody is like a you have to go out and grab someone? If I'm in a deeper league, though, not to sound like Matthew, but if I'm in a deeper league, it would be, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think, for me.
Yeah, probably the same way for me. And by the way, I want to look at two things. The upcoming schedule for the Browns, and I know they play the Bears this weekend. I think the Browns are just going to run the ball like 40 times on Sunday. And then second of all, Kyle, I wonder if you were able to pull up the box score from Sunday, because Landry got hurt early in that game when the Browns ended up winning their first game of the season. Can we look at the target distribution beyond that? Like, what was who was the team leader in targets from Sunday? My guess is Austin Hooper.
Austin Hooper with 5.
Okay, so he had 5. Can you just read how many players had targets beyond that?
Here are the guys with multiple targets. They had 5 guys at one target, but Hooper had 5, Bryant 4, Njoku 3, Higgins, Felton 2.
All right, so basically what we saw was that, A, they didn't need to throw the ball a bunch, because they were winning that game, obviously, against the Texans. And it was closer than the experts think, but that could be their formula for the next few games here. The Browns are legit. Like, they're really, really good. So I think it's possible, Daniel, that while Austin Hooper has the best chance of seeing an uptick in his value, that maybe no one really does. And that there are two players in this offense you want to start, Nick Chubb and Kareem
Hunt. It kind of feels like the reverse of the Lions, where it's like the Lions' strong suit is now going to be their tight end, and then they have two running backs that we sort of start. You don't start any of the wide receivers. For the Browns, you start both the running backs, and maybe the tight end is a flex as an option for you.
That seems about it.
How many targets do you think Browns receivers have this year? Through 2 weeks.
All Browns receivers combined. So they played the first game against Kansas City that was high scoring, so they threw it a decent amount. Last week, not so much. I'm going to go with 25.
I was going to say 28.
16.
Wow.
They have 16 wide receiver targets. There's only two teams under 30.
Wow. Yeah. Who's the other one? Lions?
Saints.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because the Saints were so low volume in week one and then out of place in week two. Yeah, it's a tough one. I think probably the reality is that no Browns wide receiver is a guarantee step up. Maybe Austin Hooper is a little bit busier. Thursday night, which is tomorrow, we'll have a full preview of that game, as we always do on Thursday show. No Tyrod Taylor, no Nico Collins. Both of them have been placed on IR, Daniel, and no surprise, we've managed to narrow this offense down to one player. It's Brandon Cooks, and that's it.
Him and him alone, yes.
Is there anybody else in the NFL that has, is there a single team that has just one fantasy relevant player right now besides the Houston Texans?
Corey Davis and the New York Jets.
That's probably a good one. Yep. Although I am curious how Michael Carter fares this week. The Patriots, maybe right now just Damian Harris. I mean, the two tight ends, but it's not like you're super enthused by what they've done so far, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. There's a few, but Saints? Not many. The Saints, yeah, Alvin Kamara, that's it, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't want to start either quarterback. Yeah. Any of the pass catchers?
Any of the pass catchers. We should do an episode.
We should.
At some point about... We should do an episode together.
Field.
I wonder, and I feel like the problem is you're almost like telling on yourself, but at some point I want to do like a revisiting the preseason episode. And I don't want to wait until the season's over. I'd rather do it like in the middle of the season, because by the time the season's over, everything is such a fog from August, right? But it feels like amongst the things that took place in the preseason that have not been borne out yet, the Marquez Callaway come up has not yet happened.
That has been tough. And it's somebody that I know a lot of us were really excited about. I wanted to see the next step happen with him. I thought, especially with Jameis getting that job,
yeah,
he gave us even more hype on Callaway. But he's a guy right now, Field, like I'm after these waivers, like he's welcome to Dumpsville after week two to me. If there's still somebody out there in your league that you like off waivers, I have no problem for me being able to drop him in order to find someone else on your roster.
A quick
roster.
Philosophy thought. It's like if you're dropping somebody right now, the fear is that you wouldn't have the chance to pick that player back up if that player shows out this weekend, right? That's what you're weary of. And so if Marquez Callaway has a great week three, like if you're dropping him, you're probably dropping him because you need the roster spot. And that means that you already have backup wide receivers on your team that are going to be capable enough to fill up the stat sheet as much as Marquez Callaway will.
So following that through, okay, so he has one great game in week three, right? So then what are you going to do with him in week four? Well, I'm not going to start him off of just one game. He's still going to sit on my bench.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, from that standpoint, he's not going to have value for me in my starting lineup for at least 2 weeks. If he does it 2 weeks in a row, okay, now I'm going to start feeling comfortable. But 1 week of production is not going to just vault him right into my flex position.
By the way, they play the Patriots on Sunday, so it's not an easy matchup. I know the Patriots are still without Stephon Gilmore, but that Patriots front seven looks pretty good right now, at least rushing the passer, and I suspect they'll do a decent enough job slowing down the wide receivers based on how they've played so far.
Why don't we do our podcast at 10 a.m.?
I don't know why we don't do the podcast at 10
a.m. No, I mean you and I. Why don't you and I do a pre-show podcast at 10 a.m.?
We should do that. Yeah. I think the real answer is to, because we want to make sure that we shout out the West Coast people, right?
Oh, that's right.
11 a.m. means the 8 a.m. Pacific time beginning.
So you and I, how about we do this? Because we want to do a show together. Mm-hmm. We'll do a pre-show at 10 a.m., you and I. We'll call it Beard Yates.
Yes, Beard Yates.
Yeah. And then at 11, we'll do regular focus, and then we'll be good.
Okay, that works for me. Although, you know, we haven't been mindful of our friends in Hawaii, by the way. I got some family over there, and you have obviously a lot of friends there, so I used to live there.
Yeah.
Was that weird, like watching? I always, when I have gone to Hawaii, I've been visiting family and most recently on my honeymoon, so I haven't really been like tuning in to a bunch of media. But what was that like? With like, as a person who lived there, was it cool to have football games starting at like 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings?
No, it sucked.
Because you had to get up early?
Hard. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I would get up I was 6 hours behind.
Yep.
So I would get up at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to make sure that I had enough time to get down to the sports bar at 6 a.m.
Yes.
Because it was the only way that I could watch it along with everyone else in the island that also wanted to go watch football. So if you don't show up crazy early and sit there for 45 minutes, you're not going to get a seat. Sitting in a sports bar at 6:15, not wanting, like, I'm not going to have a drink that early. No one, it's just like, it's...
You're not in an airport.
No.
The airport's the only acceptable place for a 6:15 drink.
Yeah.
Although... So.
But you once football starts, everything fades away. And
6:58, not acceptable. 7:02, 100% acceptable.
We are all stoked to be there.
Okay. Meanwhile, there are probably like moms and dads listening somewhere being like, Field, just wait till January.
That's right.
You might want a beer at 5:30 a.m., much less 7:05 a.m. All right, I did want to mention, and we're going to talk about it more. I did want to mention that Mike Tomlin gave us a bit of an update on Diontae Johnson, the Steelers wide receiver. He had a typical Mike Tomlin quote. It sounds like there's a chance he'll play on Sunday, but he said he's doing better, not to be confused with doing great, which I love Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
He's my favorite quote in the NFL, at least amongst head coaches. Let's get into the meat of the show today, Daniel. Let's go to our ranks. And Tom Brady, on paper, has his most difficult matchup of the season up to this point, and maybe his most difficult matchup of the season all year. The Rams were the best defense in the NFL last season. only five times since the start of last year has a quarterback scored 16.5 fantasy points or more. And three of those were quarterbacks who were big-time runners. So there are all kinds of signs to tell you, like, oh, yeah, like, not bench Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
but manage expectations.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I mean, not that I'm making a decision on Tom Brady anyways. Like, in the leagues that I have Tom Brady in, I'm starting him. But don't you feel like we have just begun a scorched earth season from Tom Brady?
Yes. 100,000%. I do not care about this matchup. If I drafted Tom Brady, one, I'm starting him this week, regardless. Two, after the first 2 weeks, how can you not say, wow, after they won the Super Bowl and they got even more time together and more chemistry and Brady knows his weapons better than he did last year, and then we've seen it in the first 2 weeks. It's like, okay, cool. You want to shut down Mike Evans week one? I got four other guys I'm going to throw the football to. You want to shut down Chris Godwin week two? I got four other guys I can still throw the football to. I totally understand there are going to be weeks where the pass catchers are going to be, you know, have tough fantasy weeks. But Brady, man, I don't know how I don't put him almost top five every week, but he doesn't use his legs and it almost doesn't compute for my brain because it's like, I can't do this. This can't be this sustainable.
Totally. And I think there are going to be people that will say, you know, hey, last year we saw Russell Wilson start red hot and mm-hmm. then slow down. What's the difference? Maybe a few people are asking that. And I think we do know the difference is that while Russ's top two wide receivers are about as good as it gets with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, that was a team last year that had an offensive line that as we know, the offensive line conversation with Seattle always gets a little bit murky because I think it's better than some people give it credit for, even if it's still imperfect. But beyond those two wide receivers, it wasn't like there was a bunch of trustworthy pass catchers. Like, the Bucs are super duper deep. They've got an outstanding offensive line. And if anything, they're not going to be the Chiefs in terms of the way that they use their backs at the goal line. But you're not trusted. Right now, there seems to be all sorts of smoke that Ronald Jones, in the margin he has for error, is just narrowing by the week. And it's about stuff that's beyond just the fumbles, pass protection, and just things that a head coach wants out of his running back. We may not care so much about it in terms of fantasy football, but a head coach wants it. Like, the Bucs right now, like, I wouldn't be surprised if those two guys combine for, like, 7 rushing touchdowns this season, as opposed to, you know, in a perfect scenario, it could be 15 or 18. So yeah. Tom Brady, no surprise, you're locking him into your lineup. And while I have him at quarterback 7, you have him at quarterback 4, Mike has him at quarterback 10. Like, honestly,
Mike's an idiot.
Well, we knew that part already.
Yeah, okay, all right.
But I might be too low at quarterback 7. Like, this just might be one of those seasons that we look back upon and say, like, wow, that was one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. Wow, that was like one of Tom Brady's 10 best seasons.
Yeah, the top of the quarterback, and this is just as a ranker too, the top of the quarterback room is so difficult because it's like every single time, every week, it's like the top 8 guys are basically the top 8 guys, and I don't care who they're playing. And
I don't.
It really doesn't matter. If I have Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or Kyler Murray or Dak Prescott or Justin Herbert or Tom Brady or Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, that's 8 people right now. Like, now that I'm past Aaron Rodgers week one, Aaron Rodgers is in my lineup every week totally. Going forward. Like, I don't care.
This comes back to what we talked about with Derek Carr in terms of the ability to add him on the waiver wire. Maybe this week, maybe you have a case for Ryan Tannehill being a sit. Maybe a case for, because of the matchup that he has, Matthew Stafford being a sit.
Yep.
And Stafford's been really good, obviously.
Yeah, it's been great.
And maybe you could say Brady in the map, but Brady's been that much better. He's Tom freaking Brady. All right, we're going to talk about running backs in just a second. But first, Daniel, a word from our friends at Geico.
Yeah. Do you own or rent your home field?
I do. Confirmed.
And I'll bet it can be hard work, too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Mm. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. That's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, fantasy football is here, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, the trash talking of friends, and all more, and all that and more. And your favorite fantasy football stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Baker Mayfield, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash talking points that you need. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game too, and Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. It's more than just a sports drink. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes.
That's dope.
Now through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product, upload your receipt at www.bafootballtailgate.com, and you'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of U.S. 18 and older. Personally, the peach mango, my favorite of the Body Armor selections. You know, most of it, mostly a pure water guy.
Sure.
But,
dude,
right here.
That stuff is, their water is unreal.
I'm with you right there.
It is smooth water for wrinkle brains is what I call it.
Is that a thing?
What do you mean, which part? Wrinkle brains?
Yeah.
Just because you're smart. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Because like the smarter you are, the more, so it's smooth water for wrinkle brains.
Gotcha.
We got a smooth brain over here.
Got it. Very smooth brain over here. I think that hair stays in perfectly place. Last stat on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Did you see, this has been going around here, that Tom Brady is getting like incredibly close to throwing more touchdown passes in his 40s than he did during his 20s?
Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous. Part of that is just most of it is Tom Brady's ridiculous. Part of it's a reflection of how the game has changed, right? Part of it's a reflection of the Patriots early in those years. That was a defensive oriented team. Richard Seymour, Teddy Bruschi's, Mike Vrabel's, Ty Law's, Otis Smith's, Lawyer Malloy's, Ronnie Harrison. The list goes on and on. Right?
Just you listing iconic those players. Oh my
gosh. Will Fork. The list just keeps going. But Tom freaking Brady, man, more touchdown passes in your 40s and your 20s. Good Lord,
it sucks because I hate him. I don't want to like him, but then he just keeps playing football at such a high freaking level, and how are you not?
You have to respect it.
You've
right?
got to.
You have to respect it. Let's get to the Cowboys running backs. There's been so much talk about the Cowboys running backs this week after a great performance from Tony Pollard. Just a reminder: in Week 2, Tony Pollard played 21 snaps. Ezekiel Elliott played just over two times as many. That's 43 snaps. So Tony Pollard does not crack our top 30 for anybody this week, Daniel. He's 36 for me, 32 for you. Mike has him at 39. Meanwhile, Zeke is outside our top 10. I am 11, you am at 12, Mike at 13. Let's actually, let me reverse this and start with Zeke.
Okay.
Is the Zeke rank at 11, 12, 13 more about what we saw from Tony Pollard last week or about the matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles?
For me, I don't believe that those two have to be mutually exclusive, but I do believe that with the way that Tony Pollard has come on as a part of this offense, okay, I don't think there's any reason why Dallas, being the offense that they are and what they've seen from him, would want to have reasons to take him off the field. Zeke is great. He's always going to get his touches. We were talking about this before the show.
Yep.
Zeke's going to get his touches. There's no way he's not going to. But Tony Pollard has been so efficient and so effective as a runner. I have no idea how you can trust that in fantasy because the volume isn't there enough for me to say you're a flex play, which is one of those things where it's going to hurt when you don't start him. He's going to sit on your bench and he's going to get you 15 points and you're like, oh man, I could have used that. But like the volume isn't there for me yet, but there's enough volume and efficiency that it has to lower Zeke for me outside of that top 10.
Yeah, so for me, it's more about the matchup. And I suppose more about the matchup, but it's definitely influenced by the Pollard thing. Because what I want to see now, Daniel, is after a good Pollard performance, really good Pollard performance, does that mean that the Cowboys give him even more run? And I'm going to be super mindful of the snap share. The touch share is, let me just be clear, for as long as Tony Pollard is still not a bit player, but a role player much more than a full-time player, I expect that when he comes on the field, he's going to see a lot of touches. And part of the reason is that like when he's coming on the field, it's because Ezekiel Elliott is gassed, right? And Zeke is going to do more stuff for the Cowboys beyond carries and catches than Tony Pollard will do. Say what you want about Zeke, but he is going to be a big part of their pass protection.
He's
a very good pass blocker. Yep. He's a willing blocker in any situation that presents itself. He's going to be there when they run play action. Like Zeke is going to be their workhorse guy. When Tony Pollard comes on, it means they want and need fresh legs. And in a lot of cases, they're going to bring Tony Pollard on for things like jet sweeps, screen passes, passing opportunities in general. Those are just more conducive to high per touch fantasy output than what Zeke's doing. Like, Zeke's doing the dirty work for them.
Big play potential there.
Big play potential for Tony Pollard. But for now, you just I just don't think he can be consistently put into a lineup yet.
Agreed.
Zeke, we're still there. Maybe this is a more thoughtful conversation for the Cowboys this offseason. Maybe two off seasons from now, based off how they have committed to Zeke financially. But for now, you know, cool. I'm happy for Tony Pollard, but this is still Zeke, and this is still Zeke until he either gets hurt or the Cowboys have a major changing of the guard.
What do you think Tony Pollard's roster percentage is now after waivers ran?
I'm going to go with, so he was at 38 or so percent prior to waivers last night. I'm going to go with 55%.
Tony Pollard is now at 56.9%.
Wow, I didn't check that either.
That is too low, because even if you do not roster Ezekiel Elliott, what you've seen from him, it shows you how good he could potentially be in this offense. I can't believe he's not rostered in 100% of leagues. He's got to find a way to get on everyone's bench.
Yeah. It's always a good question. I always wonder if sometimes we put too much into the roster percentage only because there are leagues that are relatively inactive. There are leagues where
16 leagues,
like, what's the point of having, you know, Tony Pollard is not rostered because, you know, like, whatever, I don't know, like Melvin Gordon isn't rostered in those leagues or something like that. You know, a guy who is a starting running back for his team and has already had at least one game so far.
CEH might be on the chopping block in those leagues.
Let's talk about CEH.
Oh, okay.
Chiefs, Chargers, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Arrowhead. Can't wait for this one.
Ding.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is outside my top 20 this week, Daniel. And a reminder that, again, 10-team leagues, two running backs, top 20 player, starting running back.
Yep.
I couldn't bring myself to doing that this week for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I have him at 24. Mike has him at 17. You have him at 21. Here's the good news, right? The good news is that he's getting the touches this year. 81% of the Kansas City running back touches this season. The bad news is he's not doing much with them. Are you more confident than I am, or no?
No. We've talked about this too. Like, rankings are a tiered thing, right? So for me to have him at 21, looking at the guys that are around him, I think I've got Mike Davis right around there too. I think that he's still a flex play. A running back in the high 20s is likely still a flex play for me. But from that standpoint, this is that third week. I was talking to Thirsty Kyle about this before the show. This is that week where I get to the point where after week three, if I see three straight weeks of struggle, that's where a guy that I drafted early on, that draft position no longer matters to me, and you can now go to my bench. Yep. I don't care if you were a second round pick for CEH. If after 3 weeks we're still struggling, like, I don't, the draft slot goes out the window. So for me, I don't have the confidence that CEH is going to turn this around in a major way, but I also feel, based on where I drafted him and what it is that I have on my team, he's still a running back I very likely have to roll with this week. So he's a very low-end RB2 or a high-end flex play, and I'm hoping that things turn around, because if not, I'm going to start trying to make changes because I can't go a whole season with this kind of production.
So I'm glad you brought up, like, the tier idea and the category idea, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
In my next life, that's how I'm going to rank my players in fantasy, because really what it comes down to, especially running backs, is it's like, no matter what the circumstances are, I'm starting this player, right? And so for running back, you're talking about Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, et cetera, right? At some point down that list, you get to, I'm starting this player only because the volume's in his favor, but I need some things to break right this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yes.
Right? I mean, 81% of the running back touches, that's a lot. I don't know how many players are above that so far this season, but not many. However, he needs some things to break right. The Chiefs need to target him more in the passing game. Or he needs to have...
target him at all in the passing game.
The Chargers need to get some pressure on Patrick Mahomes, which leads to dump-offs, which I don't... You know, dump-offs are not designed plays for the running backs. They're when other things don't work out. Maybe they need to have a play where they get down to the one-yard line and the Chargers are so convinced that the Chiefs are going to throw it to their other left tackle or something, that they don't pay attention to CEH and he gets a carry, right? Like, they need something to go in his favor. That's the point we've reached with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is a lot of volume, but we need a few things to go right.
It's not just, and I know I'm not trying to be Matthew and hold things up. It's not just things going right, though. I think he's got to, like, we've just got to see more from him, too.
Yeah. And I hope the skill set's there. There are certainly some things he does really well, but there are some skill set things that I think he lacks that I believe other running backs in their second year possess? As I always think about this as like, and I don't, you don't want to think about this, but DeAndre Swift would have been really fun in that Chiefs offense.
He'd have been really,
really
fun.
Really fun. Of Agreed. Course, they were taking just a few slots apart. That's another conversation for another day, though. Let's move forward here to Mike Davis, who might be in that same category, Daniel, where like the volume is good, but he needs a couple things to break right. However, people may be saying, all right, well, I've got Mike Davis at 18. I've got Mike has him at 24. Daniel, you have him right ahead of CEH, I believe.
Yep.
Why is it so different for me versus Mike Davis? And the answer is pretty simple. Is the targets are there. Mm-hmm. 13 targets through two games for Mike Davis. That's good. He had 7 in week 2, 6 in week 1. I know that we also saw, you know, we saw a decent amount of Cordarrelle Patterson last week, but Mike Davis, to me, even if it hasn't been quite what the preseason expectations were through two games, Daniel, I'm actually not too discouraged.
I'm not either because of the fact, like you were saying, he's getting targets, he's getting carries, he is absolutely carrying his full share of the workload, and his first two opponents...
Huge.
Were Tampa and Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be tough for anybody. And for Mike Davis to come in where our expectations were always, we already wanted him to be at a certain point. Like, it was almost going to be impossible for those first two games for us to be like, oh, yeah, I'm super impressed with Mike Davis, unless he blew it out of the water. So this week is the week that I think Mike Davis, for me, again, low-end RB2. I almost like Mike Davis more than CEH, but it's so hard for me to...
I like him more than CEH. To be clear on that, I have him higher than CEH this week. It may be the case going forward, by the way.
Yeah.
One note that I think is worth contextualizing is that Mike Davis's snap percentage in week 1 was 75%. In week 2, it was 62.3%. Some may be saying like, oh, Cordarrelle Patterson played so great. Maybe this is going to become more of a split. That's possible, and I'm definitely thinking about that. I also wonder if some of this was, it was like 95 degrees, and crazy humidity in Tampa on Sunday. The broadcast team of Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen, who are fantastic together, kept talking about it. Greg Olsen like had to wear like 4 shirts during the game. I mean, I don't think he actually changed, but he was so sweaty. And they were talking about how like players kept running on and off. I think that was part of the reason why. Like,
agreed.
You're going to have a guy. Some spots will play every snap. Your center is going to play every snap. Your running back, where you're constantly rotating guys in and out, anyways. Probably why he was off the field more. Tyson Williams, Daniel, plays your Detroit Lions on Sunday. Ravens coming off of a huge, huge win on Sunday night. The snap share was close to even, though. Tyson Williams, 32. Latavius Murray, 25. I think what's clear, though, is there's definitely more juice for Tyson Williams.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely more passing opportunities for Tyson Williams. Mm-hmm. What I don't know about is whether... if the Ravens have the ball from the 5-yard line or in, whether Tyson Williams is a better bet, a worse bet, or as good of a bet as Latavius Murray to finish off the drive.
Yeah, I think that's my concern too. And really the only reason why Tyson Williams against a very not good Detroit Lions defense isn't higher for me. Obviously, you look at the idea that, you know, I love this matchup for both of them. I don't think I have Latavius Murray as a flex play. He's probably a high 30s player for me. Kyle, I don't know if you can look that up real quick. But I do think that Tyson Williams is going to be active in the passing game. I think that Detroit is going to still get crushed regardless of whether or not he scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
He's going to be a guy that gets a lot of usage, and I think that he will still rack up yards on the ground and 40.
40. One of those two is scoring at least one touchdown this weekend.
Gosh.
Williams or Murray?
Why not both?
I think it's possible each scores one.
Yeah.
I think it's possible for sure.
I think Tyson Williams scores has a receiving touchdown.
Okay, receiving touchdown. But the bottom line is that, so I think from a how does this stack up compared to other weeks, is that we have Williams as a flex consideration only because the snap share is so similar.
Yes.
But maybe higher than I normally would have him because the matchup is so favorable.
Yeah, I wouldn't. The reason why I don't have Latavius Murray higher is because I think that he's touchdown dependent. But Tyson Williams does everything else. He doesn't need a touchdown to still have that, generate that fantasy value.
Yeah, Murray is touchdown dependent. We just happen to think there's a pretty good chance of scoring
touchdown.
He's going to
get the touchdown. Yeah.
So one piece of news that we'll get into. This comes via Adam Schefter, who, and we'll get back to the rankings in just a moment. He says that Brian Flores, the Dolphins head coach, announced that Tua Tagovailoa has fractured his ribs. He's out on Sunday. Not a major surprise here. Daniel Jacoby Brissett, of course, steps up as the starter for Miami.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer. We think we'll see Derek Carr on Sunday, but he right now is at least semi-questionable for that game because of an ankle issue. So Jacoby Brissett steps in. Just to sort of rehash this conversation, if you either have Jalen Waddle or Devontae Parker or Mike Gesicki, can you start any of them now this week?
You can. If you like to live dangerously,
yeah,
I would start Jalen Waddle as a flex if I had to.
Okay,
he's the only guy for me. We did talk about this yesterday, but not everyone listens to every podcast. Jalen Waddle is the kind of guy that, with I think inconsistent quarterback play or a short pass, could take it, you know, 80 yards to the house. I don't think I'm playing anyone else. Mike Gaskin is going to be a flex play for me, I think, just because I still think there's going to be some volume and passing game work there. But man, that's a huge bummer for all of them. Like, fantasy wise, that's not going
to. Yeah, with Gaskin has had an interesting start to the season because I thought there was value to be had in him going into the year. Last year, and I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, you know, like, why do we even ask, like, say, hey, correct me if I'm wrong.
I know,
here,
right?
Because
don't
people,
worry.
Everybody corrects you when you're wrong, right? Like, you could spell the most incredibly difficult name to spell by one letter off, and people will tell you, like, oh, dude, like, you totally screwed that one up, right? Like, you could spell out Vita Vea's in full name. He's got, the longest name ever. And you could be off by, like, one umlaut, and people would be like, dude, come on.
Come on, man.
Don't you get paid to
do
this
stuff? Aren't you a professional?
Don't you have a researcher doing all this stuff for you? It's like, nah, listen. To be clear, Kyle does basically everything for me, right? He does not spell check my tweets
before they go out. Well, you just throwing Kyle under the bus now.
Oh, no, not this again.
Throwing Kyle under the bus now.
No, what I'm saying is that
feels pretty good to do that.
I know it does, right? I'm not gonna lie. Kyle does everything for me. He does not spell check my tweets for me. Like, I take some responsibility for my errors. But anyways, Tua's out. So I'm out. Listen, I'm with you. I think that a few things here. Jacoby Brissett, not Tua. And not that Tua is an established star yet.
Agreed.
But Brissett, it's so deliberate. It is such a slow-moving offense when he is under center. It's not been a great start for either of the two wide receivers, Jalen Waddle. He did have a nice week one against the Patriots, 4 catches for 60 yards. But we have not yet seen one of those moonshot throws that we saw all during training camp. Beyond that, Mike Gesicki has been a virtual non-factor for Miami. Don't have to bother start. I mean, he's about where I have him ranked in other weeks because there are no tight ends.
Right.
But Mike Gesicki, also a player that I don't think you need to jam into your lineup this week. And then Devontae Parker is fine, but this Raiders defense has given fits to, in back-to-back weeks, the Ravens and then the Steelers. Like, this is not one of those cakewalk matchups where you think to yourself, you're playing the Raiders, start everybody. Miles Gaskin's basically it. But where I was going to get to, with correct me if I'm wrong thing, was Miles Gaskin averaged 9.5 yards per catch last year, which was best amongst running backs. I want to see more of that. And now I also know that a player like him who missed some time last year, who didn't necessarily have a full-time job the entire season, one long catch like he had against the Raiders last year can skew that yards per reception data. But still, I want to see a little bit more of him in the passing game. He's too talented not to get some touches there. And with no Tua, you're going to have to find ways to manufacture yards on Sunday against a very, very good Raiders team.
Super. Did you do that on purpose when you said it gives him fits? Is that a subtle shout out to our buddy Jason Fitz?
No. Ooh, Jason Fitz or Ryan Fitzpatrick, the old Dolphins quarterback who gave fits to the Raiders last year.
I was just saying because Jason Fitz is a Raiders fan, which is why he gives him, you know, I just didn't know.
I don't know that anybody loves their team as much as you love the Lions and Fitz loves the Raiders.
I think that's fair.
You guys,
when you love bad teams,
right,
love them with this like fervency that you just can't explain to teams that have had dynasties.
Right. I always like, if you know a Lions fan, I'm gonna be friends with that person because guys have been through a lot. And like the old loyal to the soil saying, do you have that tattooed somewhere on your body?
No, I don't. I've yet to get a Lions tattoo. In all honesty, we had plans to be able to do it, but because of, you know, like logos and stuff like that, I used to take my shirt off so much on the fantasy show. We wanted to make sure that I would be able to still take my shirt off based on like showing logos and doing stuff wherever I was at or for whatever I was doing. So
are you literally not allowed to show logo on that?
No, I mean, you are, but like if I were ever to do anything else that had a shirt on or that had my shirt off, you know, and whatnot, like I wouldn't be able to have like a Lions thing. Cause it's
like a thigh like Lions tattoo or something.
I What makes you think I wouldn't show my thigh in anything that I'm doing field?
That's a great point. I stand corrected.
Did you not see my social distancing video earlier in the thing?
There's nowhere to tattoo that wouldn't be seen in that video.
That was one of my favorite COVID
that was fun.
Media
that was fun.
Highlights. That was so good. All right, let's talk about the pass catchers in a second. But first, did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker now?
He is?
All this football season, Tony and Corona are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at RomoMotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RomoMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports in Chicago, Illinois.
Grab a 5-hour energy shot to stay alert and watch all your favorite games. Or if you stay up late to see that intense overtime game, maybe take a 5-hour energy shot in the morning so you can start your day. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy Shot has flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. It's a flavor for everyone. Try them all. On the site, you can even have an option to build your own 12 or 24-pack. You choose the flavors, and it's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, that's the number 5hourenergy.com, you can get yourself some 5-Hour Energy product today. You can use our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. This code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
All right, let's get back into it with our pass catchers. And by the way, a quick hat tip earlier about that Brady 40s versus 20s touchdown stat. Doug Farrar, who covers the NFL, for the NFL Wire, had the long time. I mean, he's been around. Doug's been doing a great job for a long time. He's been all over the place.
Is he Matthew old or is he?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But Doug, but he is a, Doug is super passionate about football. He is a film guy. He does everything under the sun as it pertains to NFL coverage. And I had forgotten off the top of my head where I saw that stat.
How dare you?
And well, Brady quote tweeted Doug, which was cool, right?
Oh, that's impressive. Yeah. Way to go, Doug.
Yeah. So Doug, nice, good dude. Man. And thanks for the Brady stat. Let's move forward to these pass catchers, Daniel, and Allen Robinson, Bruce brought up last week. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson at 18 on my board, same as you. Mike has him at 14 this week, actually. Now, last week, Mike looked really smart at the beginning of the game because Allen Robinson scored a touchdown on like the opening drive, and then he finished with two total catches. Been a slow start here for Allen Robinson. You concerned at all, or is this just, you know, this is going to be one of those where at week 17, we're like, remember that time when Allen Robinson like had two catches in week two?
I am concerned, but not because of Allen Robinson. And concerned is a strong word, but I am mildly concerned about the idea that this offense, not understanding, you know, okay, so Andy Dalton might be out. Justin Fields, a rookie quarterback. We want to be excited about Justin Fields, but that can have an impact on Allen Robinson's fantasy value. And as much as I know that Allen Robinson is a superstar, there's also just the potential that maybe Justin Fields isn't going to be able to get him the ball enough to make him be that top 10 wide receiver the way that a veteran quarterback like Andy Dalton can. There's just a question mark for me. I want to see it happen with Fields under center. We know how good this kid can be. We think we know how good this kid can be, but I'm at least nervous because I don't know how good this Bears offense is going to be with Justin Fields under center.
Yeah, so I feel you on all that. Want to see what it looks like with Justin Fields. I can't wait to see him play.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Which sounds like it's heading that direction with Andy Dalton, as you mentioned, the injury suffered last week, that knee bone bruise. It sounds like it'll be Justin Fields. You know, as far as the ranking goes, like this is still one of those where it's Allen Robinson, right?
I mean, you're still playing him.
We saw this last week with Mike Evans, who broke through after a really quiet week one. We saw it with other players that broke through. Aaron Rodgers is a good example. Devontae Adams, I mean, two players on the same team. But we saw plenty of players turn it around from week one to week two. I suspect the same thing will happen from week two to week three with Allen Robinson. Better week ahead. They need it against Cleveland because I do think that Browns team is going to be really tough to beat, especially Agreed. At home in Cleveland. All right, here's one that I think is fun, though. Cortland Sutton, who last week I was like, listen, he's turning it around this week. It's going to happen. Another good example of that week one to week two.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that one came to fruition. He did great against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have him 16th on my board this week. Mike has him down at 26, Daniel. I am at you have him at wide receiver 20. I think he's a lineup lock against this Jets defense.
Will you tell me why, though? Because with Mike having him at 26, I already think Mike's an idiot.
Right.
But I'd love to know why you have him at 16, because that's a 10-spot difference. It's pretty big there.
Yeah, so last week what we saw from Cortland Sutton, which was great, was the vertical presence. He had 250 air yards last week. Now, air yards are calculated on throws in which you catch it or you don't catch it. That was 61 more than any other wide receiver in the NFL in week two. So he is, amongst vertical threats, one of the busiest in the NFL. It's a good matchup against this Jets defense that I think is slightly, I'll tell you this, I was actually more impressed. I've been more impressed with them through 2 weeks than I expected to be. They've got like some good, feisty young players on that defense and a couple of vets that are playing at a pretty reasonable level. Obviously, very well coached under Robert Saleh, the new head coach. But still, like, it's a talent issue in New York.
Yeah.
It's a talent issue. The Broncos or the Jets have been turnover prone. I know Zach Wilson was especially turnover prone last week, but that offensive line's going to struggle to protect him. Short fields are a possibility for the Broncos. I love Cortland Sutton. I felt like he was undervalued coming into the season. I looked like a moron for a week, and now I believe, again, he'll be a lineup lock for me every single week.
Yeah, I think you're right with the way that he looks in this offense. It was like a, hey, don't forget that I exist, guys, was what last week's performance was when I looked at it. Watching this team, I like Cortland Sutton. I like Noah Fant. Tim Patrick is going to be the guy that I'm going to say, give me, if you want to give me a secondary pass catcher in this offense, I just love Tim Patrick. I don't know what it is about that dude.
Two first names.
Maybe it's because he's got two first names.
That definitely is possible. The two first names thing. That I think there's some sort of science behind that where that automatically makes you really good at football.
Cortland Sutton, though, man, you got to get him in your lineup. And I think I'm excited, albeit nervous, to see what happens when Jerry Jeudy returns.
Yeah.
And I wonder, Field, if you get another good game out of Cortland Sutton, this is maybe a crazy thought, but do you look at maybe selling high because you don't know what it's going to be like with Jeudy?
I think no, for this reason. Jerry Jeudy is going to miss between 4 and 6 weeks. We're already 1 week into that. Maybe, like, what if it's closer to six? And what if six turns into seven?
Sure.
In the first week he's back, a wide receiver who depends upon his route running, are you going to want to trust him right away? Like, I think also, by the way, that Cortland Sutton's just, like, so good that he can coexist with Jerry Jeudy being two dominant wide receivers week in and week out for the Broncos. Probably my bigger concern is the, and I don't think it impacts either of their outlooks, is just that they've played two like not great teams so far, right? The Giants, and then they played the Jaguars this past week, they played the Jets. Like, they'll be 3-0, I suspect, on Sunday night, but this still is a team that when they start playing the, you know, they haven't played any division games yet. Those will be the real test of what this offense looks like.
Cortland Sutton puts together another good game. A.J. Brown struggles again. Would you rather have A.J. Brown rest the season than Cortland Sutton?
I still would, yeah. I mean, unless something that I see, like unless something on Sunday looks crazy different for A.J. Brown, I'm still going to lean towards A.J. Brown.
Then if I'm the Cortland Sutton manager, I'm hoping for that, and then I'm going to put in an offer to see what it is that they would do, because then you're building off of the equity that he's built over a couple weeks, but we still think A.J. Brown's going to be good. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it.
No, I wonder. You know what, though? I don't play in enough trade-happy leagues.
I wish that, you know, it's tough to find the right balance of people that are willing to trade and not become so shy once they get trade. They make one trade, they get burned by it, and then they're like, I'm never trading again. Forget it. Everyone's out here to screw me.
It needs to happen more. And
I'm with you.
So, Dan, you know Living Legends?
Yes.
Rap group? You know Eli?
I do not. Yeah. Oh no, I do know Eli. Yeah.
He's a big fan of the show.
Yes, of course.
He's a good friend. He's become a good friend now as well.
Was in the listener league a while back. Yep.
And he got the tattoo.
Yep.
Eli, he texts me frequently with like, what do you think about this trade? And I'm like, dude, it's like a 5-for-7 trade. And I'm like, it's week two. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like my response to him is I tell him, and I talk about this a lot, is I'm like, hey, that sounds like a trade for the sake of making a trade, but I'm cool with it, right? Like, I'm just making this up here right now, right? Like, I'm trying to think of two players who are like equal value after 2 weeks. Like, definitely not like leaning one way or the other, but just like hear me out here. Like, let's say it's like, hey, I'm thinking about trading like Aaron Jones for, I don't know, like Davante Adams or something.
Okay.
Right. It's like, well, like, I don't know. Like, you know, if you really need the running back depth, like I'd probably prefer Jones. If you're short at wide receiver, I probably, you know, I think about Davante Adams. Like, I get it, you know, or like.
Like, but what's the point of that trade?
Like, yeah. And maybe that's not a perfect one. I'm sure there are others that are like really good, right? Like,
I get what you're saying.
But especially at the same position. I want to play more leagues like that. Like every league that I play in, and probably part of it's because, you know, when you are in this industry and you play in a league with people that aren't in the industry, when you make a trade to them, they're like,
it's the worst.
What do you know that I don't
it's
know?
The worst.
Right? But I want to play in more trade happy leagues. So if you're in a league with me, you want to offer me a trade, go ahead and do it.
We made a trade last year in our Gaskill league with our buddy, Not Cool Keith.
Yeah, we did.
I will say that, though, just to echo the sentiment, I'm in so many leagues with just buddies from back home, and no one wants to trade with me because they're like, oh, yeah, well, you work for ESPN. I bet you texted Fielder Matthew to find out what's going on. It's like, guys, you know all the information. I told you all the information that I know. It already came out on the show today.
And by the way, like, you want to see bad fantasy trades? I've got a whole list of them that I've made in my lifetime. I'll show you a whole, like, I got receipts too. Like, I've bungled plenty of trades in my day. Like, I'm far from perfect with the trades.
I'm with you, man.
So we were just talking about how Cortland Sutton, like, I sort of did the, like, don't quite pat yourself on the back, but almost pat yourself on the back thing. But now I'm going to do the opposite. Mm-hmm. Because last week I was like, hey, I get it if you need to see it from Mike Williams one more week before you trust him. And we saw it for one more week as he was great again, Daniel.
Yeah.
Top 15 in both weeks thus far. There are not many wide receivers that can say that. Cooper Kupp has been the best wide receiver in fantasy, but there haven't been a ton of, I mean, even the guys like Mike Evans, you know, Tyreek Hill had a dud, Devontae Adams had a dud, Stephon Diggs has less than 70 yards in each of his game.
The only other one other than Kupp.
Kupp, Lockett, and Mike Williams. How about that? Who would have thought it? But any event, Daniel, if you had to... Are we at the point now where you trust him? You have 15.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I think I'm starting him every week. I think I've seen it now the last 2 weeks. One of the things, and I have notoriously been out on Mike Williams on this podcast until we've seen it. You know, I've said that in the past. One of the things is he just didn't have a lot of catches in years past. I mean, I don't think he ever topped 50 catches in any of the previous years. Kyle can look that up while I'm talking. But for me, I've watched him do this. You know, one of the things that we have is ADOT went from 15.1 to 9.2 right now. This year, they're looking to get him the ball closer to the line of scrimmage. I think they're at a spot where they're not just taking deep shots to Mike Williams. I think they're finding ways to be able to manufacture touches to get the ball in his hands. And I think using his body and now the maturation that he's had over time, plus, I don't want to say anything against, it's not like Phillip Rivers was a bad quarterback, but like Justin Herbert and him, I think I have a really good chance to be really good with each other, man.
So I like this stat here that Kyle pulled up. His career average depth of target prior to this season was 15.1 yards.
Yes.
This year at 9.2.
Yes.
I like that context because 9.2 yards down the field is a lot easier to complete a pass.
Way easier.
Than 15.1 yards down the field.
Way easier.
And that contributes to why he's probably been up and down as a player is, while it's great when Tyreek Hill goes for 85 yards and a touchdown, or when Jalen Waddle does, or when Mike Williams goes for 70 yards and a touchdown, what's really great is when you can balance that with a few wide receiver screens here or there, a couple slants. Like, you don't need the most diverse route tree to be an absolute fantasy rock star. I always feel like Mike Thomas takes way too much criticism. But in 2019, when he had the best wide receiver season ever, I don't care what the percentage was of yards that came from three different routes, slants, outs, and digs. Like, the dude dominated. He literally was the best wide receiver in fantasy of all time. So... or I think it was close to it, at least. One of the best wide receivers of all time. Like, I'm encouraged by the way that they are utilizing Mike Williams. I do not believe this is his second offensive coordinator. I think it's his third offensive coordinator in his career. But good to see that maybe this is trending towards a more complete player, Mike Williams.
Yeah, Kyle, do you have how many catches he's had per season since he came into the NFL? Because I think the idea of what you're talking about with that ADOT, it's just easier for him to be able to manufacture, like, to get touches and catches.
Yeah.
When 43 in 2018, 49 in 2019, and 48 last season.
That's right.
He's
always
never
under
topped
50.
50 yeah. catches. Like, that's for them to be able to find ways to get the ball in his hands rather than just taking the deep shot every week has now made him a fantasy viable wide receiver to me.
All right. So, by the way, call to action one more time. If you have questions, get in on the chat and send them our way. One more pass catcher slash wide receiver. One more wide receiver to break down, Matthew.
Whoa!
Oh,
wow!
Boy.
I didn't mean that.
Oh,
jeez.
Boy.
My gosh. Why don't you do a lap around the studio, go get a glass of water, Field? My goodness.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Holy cow.
You make those kind of mistakes, you got to pay the price.
Yeah.
You got to go just take a minute.
Man.
It's like airballing a free throw right
now. That's like airballing
a free
throw.
It's like airballing four free throws.
Wow. Wow.
You know, one day it's going to be Stefania there, and I'm
going to
call Matthew.
I know. It's going to be...
she will never talk
Forget
to me
about
again.
It.
She will pour a bottle of wine on my head on the spot right there.
Excommunicated.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
Hollywood Brown
mm-hmm.
is who I was going to talk about. I've got him at 27. You have him at 22. Mike Evans at 28. By the way, we will talk about Hollywood Brown as it pertains to wide receiver cornerback matchups on the show tomorrow. They play the Lions, so yep. You might be able to guess which side of that matchup column he makes.
Yeah.
But he's been great, Daniel. He has been one of the best values in fantasy so far. He was drafted outside the top 100 players. Is he now a lock inside your top 30, which would make him, by default, a flex?
A flex play. I think so. He is right now, at least this week, against the Detroit Lions, because you had me at Lions. After the Detroit Lions, we'll reassess. But if this is another week where he takes advantage of what it is that the defense has given him, we've seen the progression with him and Lamar Jackson over the first 2 weeks. I was really encouraged to be able to see him do it 2 weeks in a row after what was a big week one. We've talked about him having big week ones before. So from that standpoint, yeah, if he puts together another, and I asked this to Stefania yesterday, I know that he was dealing with injuries a little bit. I wondered if this year, like with him being fully healthy, having more time to be able to work with Lamar, it looks like they're just on a better page with each other. And I think he is, at least now, a flex play for me.
I'd be curious, Kyle, if this is easy to look up. I wonder where his ADOT in the first 2 years of his season, of his career, versus this year, if yeah. it's decidedly different or not. If something looks different to me, can't quite tell what it is. I don't know if it's the routes he's running. Friend of the show, Matt Harmon, does a great job for so many things at Yahoo and also Reception Perception, which yeah. if you want to go check that out, great, great resource. But it talks about, he dives deep into how a wide receiver fares, not just based off what routes he's running, but also what kind of coverage he is facing. I wonder if the routes being run this year for Hollywood Brown are different, because something to the eye test looks different beyond like the speed or the quickness. He's always been ridiculously fast and ridiculously quick.
Decidedly different and
efficient.
Not that you guys need to have any more reason to trust anybody ever against the Lions defense, but they just lost Jeff Okuda, as we talked about last yep. week. They just put Fatu Melifonwu on injured reserve, who was the rookie that they drafted out of Syracuse that they liked. We have almost nobody at cornerback in that secondary right now, and it's just... it's just a talent thing. It's, you know, the coaching staff is going to do the best that they can, but it's going to be tough to be able to get to a certain point. Totally. So,
his ADOT, by the way, Kyle notes, is only down 1 yard relative to his career average. So maybe it is. Maybe I'll have to go check some more Matt's data to see if it's the route running that has been difficult or has been changed this year and thus has led to better days. So every week during the rankings, there are players that just are hard to figure out where to slot them because you're more optimistic, less optimistic than consensus, Daniel. Is there somebody that comes to mind to you or a group of players that comes to mind for you that is more difficult to rank this week than normal?
I think this entire Steelers-Bengals game is tough for me. A lot of it is because they're all in that flex range. It's not just like someone stands out. Deontay Johnson, if he were healthy, if we knew that he was going to go,
higher, yeah.
he would be the one that would stand out. But with that uncertainty there, I don't know if any one of them is a wide receiver too for me, and with them all being flexes, Jamar Chase has a chance for, you know, a big touchdown. We've seen it. Like, I like T. Higgins still. I don't want to be out on Tyler Boyd. Like, I'm having a hard time after 2 weeks in both of these offenses being able to figure out which one of these wide receivers I sort of like more than the other, if that's fair to say.
Yeah, that's fair to say. I feel you on all that. My players, I'll give you two this week that were tough for me. And by the way, we'll have much more on Deontay Johnson, hopefully by tomorrow, definitely by Friday, because he's a major question mark for Sunday as of right now. One would be James Robinson. Some encouraging signs this past week, as we talked about on the show, but still not, definitely not there yet. Don't know exactly what to do with him. And then Teddy Bridgewater, because I like Teddy as a streaming quarterback this week against the Jets and how they've played so far. So Teddy Bridgewater would be a tough one for me to figure out exactly where to rank. Because like my instinct, my gut tells me he's got a top 12 week in him, but my ranking brain could not bring myself to ranking him anywhere close to that for week three.
That's fair. It's tough. I mean, this Matthew Stafford is in that same area for me as Teddy Bridgewater this week.
Totally, yeah. Tough one.
So I do want to say this. What the heck is up with James Robinson and the idea that Carlos Hyde is taking touches away from him?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely better in week two than it was in week one, but this is... coaches value things in real football to their running backs that we don't value. We were talking about this earlier with Zeke. It's just going to be the case, man. Like, whether it's familiarity, whether it's they feel like Carlos Hyde, who's much bigger than James Robinson, is just more rugged and can hold up over the course of the season, things of that nature.
Yeah.
coaches just defer to traits that you and I have really no use for in fantasy football.
I don't have most of those traits myself to begin with.
Yes. But coaches, the most surprising part about James Robinson is that he really held up all last year until that final week with the sprained ankle, and he was consistent. He was good in the passing game, good as a runner. That's the part that has been most surprising to me. We do have a Twitter poll that was, ooh, I believe we asked this yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and demand a recount if this does not work out in my favor. Can we flash the Twitter poll up here on the screen? Who would be the most fun person to party with from the show? Wow, Daniel Dopp takes the win.
All right, everybody.
Big time win for you,
that
buddy.
That makes me, I got to be honest, that feels pretty good to win over Matthew Berry. I'm not going to lie. It hurts to win over you. And Stefania, I want you to know that the party I
this
have.
This is ridiculous. So Daniel wins the poll. 33.2% of nearly 7,000 votes go to Daniel.
Wow.
28% for Matthew, 20% for Stefania, and I only get 18%. What is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
You are not fun. Not fun
you take
field.
Take that back right now.
Not fun
you
field.
Take that back right now.
That's a new nickname. Not fun field.
Not fun
like
field.
Not cool Keith and not fun
sure.
field.
We already, I don't know. Too much alliteration for
we've
me,
already
man.
Done it.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
I'm out on that one. And we have one more poll. Let's fly. You know what? Dismiss this poll. No one cares about this because you guys are all wrong. And you can come party with me. I'll give you some proof in the pudding. Let's go to the next poll. And this was asked, I believe, yesterday as
polls
well.
Polls are put up at Fantasy Focus on
yes.
Twitter.
Yes. Oh, this is a good one. All right. So let's make sure that we vote on this one because this is a good question. Daniel could speak from experience. The rest of us probably cannot. Is it acceptable to have a beer at 7 a.m. in Hawaii?
While you're watching a football game.
I hope the two options are yes and absolutely.
Yes.
But if the answer, I think the option is probably more likely yes and no.
Yes and no. This is a very one-sided poll at the moment. What side do you think's...
It better be yes.
The answer is absolutely
91%
yes. Yeah.
Of almost 2,000 votes so far.
It's weird.
Yes?
Yes.
It
okay,
takes,
good. All right.
It takes a minute for your body to get used to eating pizza and drinking alcohol
yes.
that early in the morning. It's a little bit of a shock. But if you practice hard, you can get there. So
does ooh. It have to be in Hawaii? 91%. That's a big number.
I did it because that was how my time restrictions worked out, not because I wanted to get up and start drinking sure. at 7 a.m. So just I want to be clear on that aspect of it. But no, I just, you know what? Just go out and have fun and watch yeah. football, man. Who cares what time it is?
I kept asking you guys to give me some updates or some questions, but we have news things that keep popping up in polls. Here's one more piece of news for you. How about this? This also comes from Shefty. Antonio Brown's in place on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Ooh.
Antonio Brown, Bucks wide receiver. They had, I believe, a practice squad receiver, and I know linebacker Kevin Minter went on the list yesterday.
Okay.
So, Antonio Brown, it's Wednesday. Sounds like you're going to have to make other plans for Sunday. We always, reminder, COVID protocols, it's possible that a vaccinated player could return with two negative tests more than 24 hours apart. But I do not know Antonio Brown's vaccination
status.
Yeah. And I do not know the likelihood of him being available on Sunday. But if you had him in your lineup or have, we're planning on to, maybe time to make some alterations to your lineup. Antonio Brown obviously coming off a quiet week, but it was really, really good in week one.
That's not going to change anything for me with the Bucks. It's just going to mean more Gronk, more Mike Evans. Or Chris Godwin.
Yes, indeed. I cannot wait to see that game on Sunday, which that strikes me as a primetime type game.
Mm-hmm.
Not a primetime game. Sunday afternoon game.
Primetime in our hearts.
The game is in Los Angeles. The first time. That's right. This is the first time Tom Brady has ever played in Los Angeles for an NFL game in his career. It might be the first time within 5 months, because he might be back there in February for the Super Bowl if the Bucs season goes, as I think a lot of us believe it could very well
Tom
go.
Brady has never played in Los Angeles?
Not in a professional game, no. Well, you know, SoFi Stadium's new, right? I mean, that's only, what, 2 years old?
Right, yeah.
I think it's actually 1 year old and then a year of the Rams and Chargers
guess,
playing
yeah, that
in
makes
different
sense.
Stadiums.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Wow.
Since Tom Brady has been back in Los Angeles for football. He's been there many times for other stuff. He's
yeah.
an A-lister, but he has not been there for football. Daniel, you were amazing on the couch today.
You were great, too, today,
Phil. I was
okay.
Field. I mean, I called you Matthew. That was a little bit bad.
That's okay, buddy.
Okay.
One of the things is I love doing this, and I hope that this comes through, but like, man, I just love being able to be here and chat with you and do this. I love being able to talk about fantasy football. It's one of those things that just it brings people together. The way that like the sport is so much fun and it's a reason to talk with each other and a reason to get at each other and make people hate you. But then also you like, you know, it's just fun.
Hey, I'll tell you this much. Beats having a job, right?
It sure does.
We appreciate all of you that are out there watching and listening, and we'll be back tomorrow. Daniel will be here, just back in his normal seat. Mike Clay will be with us as well. Kyle did a great job, as he always does. So for Kyle and Daniel, I am Field. Happy Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Peace out.